I'm going to turn this morning in the Bible to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 was the theme for this week's Choir Fest. God is my rock. The Lord is my rock. In your Bibles, in your pews, you can find that on page 539. Page 539. We're going to look at just the first three verses this morning as we try to unpack not only what the kids learned this week, but what that means for all of us here this morning as well. Psalm 18. And Psalm 18 begins with a title, which I think is relevant for us to understand what we're going to be reading in the first couple of verses. So I'm going to read what's in the title, the explanation there as well. Psalm 18 is for the director of music. In other words, it's intended for group use, for community use. It's a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. King David lived about 1000 BC in the country of Israel. And David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul, one of his specific enemies. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, friends, I've lived in the Northeast now, as some of you know. I'm not a native of New England, but I've lived in the Northeast now for about 10 years. About 10 years in New Jersey, and now about a year or so here. And one of the things that still amazes me about living out here is how many of these there are. Now, I don't know if you really realize that, if you grew up in New England, but some of you did not. These are not everywhere in the country. Now, I grew up in Northwest Indiana, and if you've ever gone through Northwest Indiana, I'm going to put that down, it's going to get kind of heavy to carry around. In Northwest Indiana, there's a bunch of sand dunes, and there's a bunch of swamps. It's kind of interesting geologically, if you learn about the history and so on, if you're into that sort of thing, but you're hard-pressed to find one of these anywhere. Now, rocks, of course, have their place. Rocks are a firm foundation to stand on. In Indiana, where I grew up, if you hike up a sand dune, and maybe some of you have done this somewhere, you know, you take one step forward, one step up, and what happens? Well, you slide halfway back down. Rocks don't do that to you, do they? Rocks offer a firm foundation. Rocks make a solid place on which to plant your feet and to move along. In the days when enemies attacked using bows and arrows, rocks were a great place to hide out and take refuge, right? You can imagine in purgatory, going into purgatory chasm and all those little cracks and fissures in the rock and finding there a place where you can hide out and be safe from enemies and from storms that come along. And so it's no surprise that the Bible would use the image of a rock as a picture of what God is like, to help us understand how God is totally reliable, a source of strength, how God is a refuge and a shelter against enemies and storms of life. He's this place of security that will last and not be destroyed. And so that was a Choir Fest theme this week. God is my rock. The Lord is my rock. And it's a great theme for a week. There's lots of good crafts, and you can see that in the fellowship hall that kind of come out of that. You know, themes of rocks, and the kids heard some stories about how God used rocks in the course of history to draw attention to who He is and what He was doing. But it's more than just kind of a nice pictorial theme. God is my rock is a word that we want to hear this morning also as a life challenge, a life theme for David and a life challenge for us. God is my rock. Those are simple words to say, four words, one syllable each. And yet they're harder words to live by because as we'll see this morning, there's lots of things that want to kind of pull us away from that foundation that God wants to be for us. And we have to come back again and again to remind ourselves who God is and why He is our rock. Sometimes we know that God is a rock, a refuge for other people out there. But can we say for ourselves, God is my rock? I want to talk this morning about two things. First of all, what keeps us from saying that, from owning that expression as something that we believe? And secondly, I want to talk a little bit about how David and how we work through that and how we can come back to a place where we can set our foundation for our life on God. What would keep us from saying that, first of all? Well, in David's case, he could easily point to the troubles and struggles of his life to give up on God. The title of the psalm portrays him as writing these words, "When the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies." Now, we could talk for a little bit about what that is. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, if you're worshiping here regularly, or if you don't have a place where you're worshiping regularly, you want to work through that together with us, we're going to look at David's life, and we're going to look at some of the enemies that he faced, enemies from outside. We're going to look at some of the ways that sometimes David was his own worst enemy, like many of us can be at times as well. And we're going to see how God rescued him from those enemies and from himself. But we don't have to know all the specific situations in order to understand a little bit of what David felt he was up against. If you have your Bibles open, you can look at some of the verses in this psalm, those little numbers there as we go through, and we can see what David felt. Verses 4 and 5, he felt the threat of death hanging over him. We get to verse 6, we find out he cries out in distress. Literally, the word kind of gives us picture that David is in a really tight spot. He doesn't know how he can move or how he can find his way out. David felt, verse 16, like he was in deep waters. We might say David was in over his head. He faced enemies and foes too strong for him, verses 17 and 18 tell us. And he felt like disaster was going to come at any time. David felt in verse 28, well, he says, "The Lord kept my lamp burning." But we get the impression from that that David had times where he felt like the lights could go out at any moment. We get to verse 36, and he says, "God, you kept my ankle from turning." Again, we get this sense as we go along that David felt like any moment he could go along and he'd just trip and fall and hurt himself. And towards the end of the psalm, he talks again about how the enemies and how he felt like he was constantly attacked by violent people. And you add all of that up, and it makes you understand how life can feel much less than secure at times. And we can understand why David might have said, "You know what? God seems to work for other people, but he doesn't work for me. I can't really rely on him when I got all this stuff going on. I'm going to find another rock, another foundation, another place on which I can build my life." Now, we read all of that and we recognize this morning that we don't face all of the things that David or the other Bible characters faced. I mean, the kids learned this week, right, about Jacob and about Moses and some of the struggles that they had. And if you don't know the stories, the kids can tell you later on. Well, we don't face all the exact same things that they faced. But we know what David and what others in the Bible felt. I mean, you go through that list that we just read. How many of you haven't ever felt like you were in a tight place and you didn't know what to do to get out? Or how many of you haven't ever felt like you were in over your head in something and you the waters was just going to keep going up, or whatever it was just going to keep piling up on you? Or like you were up against something at work or at school or with your friendships or in your family and you're just ready to, it's gonna fall flat any moment. We know what David and what others in the Bible are feeling, even if we aren't facing the exact same things. And when we find ourselves up against a list like this, it's not a big step to give in to bitterness, to give in to self-pity, to fall into traps of becoming resentful, unforgiving of others, to get irritated and angry, to give in to addictions and temptations and say, "Well, what does it matter anyway? I don't know where my foundation is." And so we start spinning around and trying to find foundations for ourselves. And we do this already as little kids, don't we? We find those places to go that we think are going to fix our world, right? And maybe for some of you, it's video games. You know, you go to a video game, you come home from school, it's been a busy day at school, it's been a crazy day at school or daycare or whatever you've been doing, and you come home and here's a part of your world that you can control. Here's a part of your world that you can find your way through and you can make it make sense. And when you know, if it doesn't go well, you just go back and start over. Don't you wish life was like that sometimes? But video games, you can do that. Or maybe you find your refuge in sports. And you say, "Well, you know what? I know where I stand in sports because I'm better than that person." You can compare. You can contrast. Or we find a refuge in friendships or in the way that we look or in our grades or something like this. As adults, we find a refuge in how much money we have in the bank or how hard we can work at our job. But the problem with this stuff, we might feel like it's a solid rock, that there's a lot to it. But in reality, all of this stuff is like sand. It's like sand. Your friends move across town, out of state, and suddenly they can no longer be the refuge that they once were. You know, you master a video game, you think, I'm really good at this, and then what happens, right? Well, they come out with a new video game. And then the video game you were so good at, nobody cares about that anymore. Right? Don't you hate it when life does that to you? Finances, jobs, as adults, we know that these things can be very fleeting. And it as we climb up in them, they suck us back down, like climbing up a sand dune, or sometimes they even kind of make us sink in. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, where do we go when we feel like life is overwhelming us? What effect does this overwhelming sense of life sometimes have on our attitude towards God and towards others? And how do we stand firm on our rock? How do we claim God's promises? Well, we don't have time this morning to unpack of all the reasons that David can claim that God is his rock despite everything that he's been up against in life. But we can see in this first few verses of the psalm even a couple of ways that David claimed this faith in God as a reality that shaped the way he viewed life. How does David claim this reality? God is my rock. What makes him say that? Well, first thing that David does is, even before he tells us about God, he talks to God. Did you ever notice that? If you got your Bibles open, look at verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Let me tell you about God. But before he does that, he says, here's what I want to say to you, God. See, sometimes it's necessary for us to remember where we stand relationally with God or with others, so that we don't get swept away by the circumstances of life. And we do this as parents or as children, right? Families, husbands and wives. We find that there's times where we have to say to each other, you know what? I love you. I love you. Because we don't always feel like we love the other person or like they're very lovable at the moment. And it doesn't mean that the person, everything they do is lovable. I mean, kids, let's be honest. Is everything that you do lovable to your parents? Don't answer that, parents. No. I mean, as a mom, you get up in the middle of the night to take care of a crying baby and take care of their diaper. Is that a lovable thing? No. But as a mother, you make a choice. Or as a father, you make a choice to love your children. Even sometimes when you don't feel like they're lovable. It's what God does for us. Our sin puts a wedge between us and God. We turn our backs on God, and we want to live our own way. And God looks at us who are running away, and we aren't very lovable, and yet God comes after us in Jesus Christ and says, I choose to love you and give my son for you. And David starts with all of that in the background, and he thinks about God, and he begins saying in a voice that we can overhear, before I say anything else about you, God, I want to talk to you. And I want to say that I love you. Because if you are who you say you are, God, if you are my creator, if you made this world and the beauty that I see in it, if you redeemed me and you came after me when I turned my back on you, then you're lovable. I have to love you even when I don't feel like the circumstances of life push me toward loving you. But then David turns to the rest of us and speaks directly about his experience of why his faith in God is not misplaced, how he can recognize God in the difficulty of life. See, faith doesn't mean that we ignore the hard stuff of life. I mean, sometimes we hear that, or we hear people that kind of act like faith means we just have to ignore this bad stuff that happens. No, it doesn't. I mean, we looked at that list in David's life. We looked at that list in our own lives. Faith acknowledges that stuff. But David sees that through all that hard stuff, that God has proven himself to be a rock, right, kids? To be a rock. God is my rock. Actually, look at verse 2. If you've got your Bibles open, you can see all the words that David piles up. God is a rock, a fortress, a deliverer, a refuge, a shield, a salvation, a stronghold. How many more words can you come up with to say God is there? He'll take care of me. He'll watch over me. He'll make sure that I have a place to stand that's firm. The psalm piles up one word after the other to give away a picture of the ways in which God shelters His people from the worst that the world can throw at them. And it's helpful for us sometimes to take a step back and to look at the things that God does to shelter us and protect us and to give us a place to stand. God does that sometimes right at the moment of our struggles. God shields us by our friendships. He shields us by our parents. Our families can be a protection from us from the messy stuff that goes on in their world. God provides for us financially. God provides for us by the land of our birth. I mean, can you imagine how different our world would be? How much more out of control maybe it would feel if we lived in another part of the world where there's civil wars going on or there's civil unrest? I mean, sometimes we worry about the course of this country. We pray about that. But we are blessed in so many ways with the stability and the prosperity that we have here in this land. All of these are gifts from a God who provides. But David isn't just talking in this psalm about God's provision for the daily things of life. I mean, yes, God does give us things, right? God gives us friendships, He gives us families, He gives us money, He gives us jobs, He gives us the ability to run and play and get good grades and get, you know, learn things in school. But God is concerned about more than just this life. God is concerned about our eternity as well. And when David talks about God as our salvation in verse 2, and he uses words like this throughout this psalm as well, David is taking this bigger perspective. Yes, God is taking care of me in this life, but I need salvation from more than just the enemies who are around here, around me in this world. I need to be saved from myself. And again, if you look at David's story, and we're going to do that in this church here over the next couple of weeks. If you look at David's story, or you read about that in other parts of the Bible, David is not someone who's got it all perfect. In fact, he's far from it. David messes up really big sometimes. He sins against God, he sins against others. And yet, David is able to say when we get to verse 20, "The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness." Now, how can David say this? It's not because he's ignorant of the stuff that he's done wrong. He's very conscious of that. There's other psalms, Psalm 51, for example, that David wrestles with his guilt of what he's done wrong. But David can say that because he sees that God has provided a way out from sin. God has provided a way out for David and for all of us who want to live by ourselves, who want to do what the world tells us to do. We take care of ourselves first, right? This is what the world tells us. We take care of ourselves first, and then with the leftover time and energy, we take care of others, and we take care of God. We worship God. That's not how God would have us do. We're created to be close to God, not to run away from Him. And when we run away, where sin brings difficulty and division, hostility, Jesus brings us back together between us and God. And he dies on the cross to pay the price for our sin. And he rises to life again. And that's what David sees in here. Now, God shields us from some of the effects of other sin, but more importantly, he shields us from the worst effects of our own sin. From seeing, from the mistake that we make sometimes as seeing what we think of as a solid rock, but it's really sand. Is really something that's going to just crumble away when we step on it. And like David, and like the others that the kids learned about this week, like Jacob, like Moses, we can remember who God really is. That He's the one who wants us to stand on Him for better perspective when life is going well. He's the one who wants us to hide in Him for protection when life is difficult. And He's the one who wants us to turn to Him for forgiveness when we've done wrong and need forgiveness and a new place to start. And so this week, when you see these rocks, right, you know, that dot the Massachusetts countryside, think this week about what the kids have learned, that God is a rock. And more than that, not just that God is a rock to somebody out there, but that God wants to be your rock and my rock, something that you and I can stand on, can turn to. And for some of you, this may be simply a reminder. And you say, yeah, you know what, I believe that. I just need to be able to say it again this week. For some of you, it may be something new or something you've been running away from. But wherever we are this morning, we want to hear this call of God to us. This challenge that David gives us, kind of in parting in verse 3. What am I going to do with all of this? Now that I know what the struggles are, now that I know how God provides for my material blessing and for my salvation, what am I going to do? And David says, I'm going to call on the Lord. I'm going to call on the Lord so that I can be saved. I can be saved from the worst of the world, the devil, and even we ourselves can throw at us. And so we remember this morning that God wants to be your rock and mine. That we can say, the Lord, my rock. Because of Jesus, I have a firm place to stand now and through eternity. Let's pray. Our God, we love you, or at least we want to. So help us. Give us confidence to speak to you like David did. To really speak to you and believe that you hear us. And when we face struggles and trials in life, show us how you protect and shield and provide for us. Show us what forgiveness and new life look like for us in Jesus. So that we can say, God, you are my rock. And we can mean those words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.